Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. So before we watch this video, make sure you like the video, share with your friends, subscribe to our channel, and go to calibrateministries.com for more resources, podcast episodes. Get in touch with me through there. If you'd like to, I'd love to hear from you. So on Calibrate Conversations, I don't do a lot of hot takes. I don't like responding to all these current event news stories, mostly because there's usually other sides of the story. Usually when people see all these headlines, it's like, you know, everyone jumps on some bandwagon and, you know, breaking news and making assumptions. And then there's more to the story that is revealed in weeks or months. And so I like to let things simmer down a little bit and more sides of the story be revealed before I respond to something. But today I am going to respond to something that just happened this week. And I think it's because I really want to look at a bigger picture. So it's just this one new story really, I think, reveals a lot of what we need to address within Christianity. And so I am going to dig into that a little bit. And it's the story we see all too often of a pastor falling into sexual sin. And so just this week, we saw this new story about Steve Lawson. He's a pastor of Trinity Bible Church of Dallas, and he has resigned due to a moral failure where it says he has had an inappropriate relationship with a woman. And it sent a lot of shockwaves through Christianity. He was a very well-respected, had a worldwide following, and has impacted a lot of people. You know, he was a preacher, a teacher. He seminary professor. He taught at the Master Seminary in California. He was the founder of One Passion Ministries, where he distributes a lot of resources. He's written over 30 books. So it's been a really big deal. And as we see these headlines, I just want to share a few thoughts on how we got here, why this happens. Obviously, it happens because of sin. But how we can maybe respond to some of these situations as they happen in our culture with big national figures like this, and as they happen in our local churches. First of all, I think that a situation like this really puts on display the results of this consumeristic Christianity that we have here in America. I looked into Pastor Steve and all what he was doing, and like I said, he was pastor of this big church, a few thousand people, I believe, in Dallas. He travels all over the world speaking, it seems like, all the time. He was a seminary professor in a different state from where he lived. He had this whole other ministry, One Passion Ministry. And so I started asking the question, like, was he actually shepherding his church? What did the shepherding look like in his church? Was he being shepherded himself? Was he modeling that to the congregation? Because you can't model deep heart-level shepherding of your heart and your soul if you're not experiencing it yourself. Was he really living with biblical eldership in which all of the elders were accountable to one another? When I look at everything that he was involved with in doing, and maybe I'm wrong. I don't know the many details about his personal life or his, you know, so I don't know, but I can't imagine that we could say yes to all that, that he was deeply involved in his local body and modeling shepherding really, really well and being shepherded himself. And part of that is evident that if he was really being shepherded well, it would have avoided a situation like this. But sometimes, you know, people can deceive the people shepherding them. So I don't want to make assumptions there. But I think the distinguishment here is that we gravitate towards these very charismatic, well-spoken preachers, and we hire them to pastor our church, even though they're doing a million other things. But we need local churches where shepherding, biblical soul care, and discipleship are the cornerstones of our ministries and our churches, where the word that is preached is applied to our lives. It's in relationships, in discipleship, and being shepherded by others. And I don't know how that would be possible for a pastor who preaches at a church of thousands and is involved in all these other areas of ministries that took him around the country and around the world all the time. I know in my own life, I try to be I limit my travel schedule, not only for the sake of my family, but I need to be involved in my local church. I need to be submitting to my elders. I need to be shepherded myself, and we need to protect that at all costs. And so I think that my conclusion is we need more pastors, not preachers. We shouldn't hire people because they're so great preaching the word when they're not going to shepherd our congregation and be shepherded themselves in that same context. And so we need more pastors, fewer preachers, and we need to value the local church pastor who is working alongside his congregation, deeply involved in their lives. And I don't know all the leadership structure of Steve's church. I know that they had elders because there's a statement released by the elders. So I can't speak into everything about this situation. But I know that when you have many times a big name preacher who is the pastor of a church who's doing all these other things, it becomes a one-man show, and there's not a lot of accountability for him. And that's not the model of shared eldership that the New Testament laid out. We have turned the concept of church into this product to be consumed, and we want to put out a great project so we get this really great preacher to, you know, be up front on Sundays. We need to be cautious about continuing to consume that product and perpetuate it, and instead live out the model of the New Testament church. Second is this: we are all susceptible. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." We are all susceptible, and sexual sin runs so deep inside many of us that we are all susceptible, and the enemy wants to use it to destroy us, to destroy our churches, our families, our relationships, our marriages, not just big name pastors, but every single one of us. And that's why we all need community, discipleship, and shepherding. When we're removed from that, sin starts small in our hearts and continues to grow, and it eventually consumes us. It devours us, just like this passage said. And it's tragic when it happens to a popular pastor, and it's tragic when it happens to the everyday person sitting next to you in the pew. So we need to be on guard. We need to not let sin grow in our hearts. There's time many years ago when I was struggling with some sin and I made some horrible choices, and it was dishonoring to God, and just I was on the verge of imploding, and I had to face some serious consequences. And I'm thankful for people in my life who were willing to force me to deal with those consequences and put them on me and remove me from a leadership position I needed to be removed from. And I thought at that time that it might cost me, you know, my ministry. And I was flirting way too close to just sin that I may never have been able to turn back from. But while dealing with that, a wise person told me, they said, "Brady, the world needs your purity way more than it needs your preaching." And that hit me like a ton of bricks. So many times when we have, you know, a public ministry, we start hiding to maintain our image, to maintain our ministry. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us, because that's where he deceives us. Sin thrives in darkness. And so it's never worth covering up for the sake of ministry. And we have a much more impact by maintaining purity, by submitting to community and wise counsel and shepherding and repentance than we do by any type of public ministry. Third is this: nobody is beyond redemption and restoration. Many times I hear in these situations, people say things like, "This person fell from grace." Well, you don't fall from grace, you fall into grace. So many times when someone's sin is exposed, whether it's a popular pastor or a fellow church member, we shun them. We apply cancel culture. And I believe that we need church discipline at times, but the goal should be repentance and restoration. And in the case of a Pastor Steve here, it has been reported that he went to the leadership of the church and confessed. And if that's true, that is a great start. I admire him for that. That is something to celebrate. when someone's sin is exposed, we have a horrible tendency to run from them, to shun them from community when they need it the most. And we should be running to them. We should be pursuing them and not letting the devil get more of a foothold into their life, wrapping ourselves around them. And if they haven't repented, we plead with them to do so. And when they do, we celebrate with them with no less joy than the father killing the fatted calf to celebrate his son coming home. We celebrate people's repentance. Having your sin exposed is crushing. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." And so let's make sure that our response to other people's sin is redemptive, that it is part of the rebuilding and restoration in their lives and in their marriages. And again, I've seen this play out in churches too many times where something is exposed and that's hard. Instead of running towards that person and walking through hard things, we push them away. We don't want to go there. It's too messy. We push people out of our churches. And sometimes it's sin issues. Sometimes it's not sin issues, like maybe a pastor being let go for some reason. And they're just, even if there's not sin issues involved, they're shunned from their church and they're pushed out. And sometimes there's, you know, there's these non-disclosure agreements that are signed where, you know, if they want their severance, then they have to sign this agreement that they have to completely leave the community and can't talk about what happened. And I think that's absolutely horrific because they need community. And many times they're manipulated into doing that because they need to provide for their family, so they need their severance. And there's a lot of shenanigans that goes on in churches that is horrible and I think sinful and covers up some really poor leadership. And we need to not do that to people. When people are in a hard spot, whether it's their own sin or other people's sin, we run to them and we build a culture in which we pursue people with love and grace and caring and kindness, and we bring them closer into community. We don't put up more barriers between them and community because they need that community to walk through some of the hardest moments of their life. So I don't know Steve Lawson's heart or where he is in the process. We have to leave that up to his elders. I do know that he needs our prayers along with his wife, his family, and his church, and whoever he had an inappropriate relationship with. I don't know where they are at in that. What I do know is this: if he goes through a process of biblical repentance, then his best days are ahead. Like, he's 72 years old. He spent decades pastoring in ministry. He's had such an influence. But if he's willing to surrender this and walk through a path of restoration, his best days are ahead. He may never step in the foot of a pulpit again, but he can find wholeness in his heart and his soul that he has never had. That's what we should hope for. That's what we should pray for. That's how we should talk about these situations. The world is watching. The world uses these situations to condemn Christianity, but we need to display for them something completely different, a hope that's in Jesus, that the hope that we have and the hope that we offer to others. That's what we should be praying for in the lives of sinners, whether they're sinners out there or sinners in the midst of our church or a big name pastor who has fallen, and now we pray that they've actually found God's grace in whole new ways. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode. I pray that this is encouraging. I pray that we can have better responses to these situations, that the Lord would use these situations for his glory, as he always does and as he can do. But let's be vigilant in our own lives, in other people's lives. Let's lean into relationships. Let's confess sin when it is just barely hinted at inside of us instead of letting it grow. So let's go through our week and let's embrace God's standard for sexuality. Thank you so much for joining us.